Another week is in the books. Welcome to week 11 of the NFL season, and welcome to the What the Fantasy podcast. As always, joined by the one and only Tom Goslowski, looking great with that no-shave November beard. Ooh. Kyle Ray, I can't see his beard, but I know it's there. Kyle Ray also joining us. Give them a follow at RayRay8134. Follow Goz at TOMGOZZ, and follow the podcast at What_Fantasy. Kyle, because you were late to this podcast, I'm going to start with this. How are you feeling a couple days after what's being called Hail Murray?
So I think that title's stupid. I'll go with Lucky Murray.
All right, I'm already cutting you off.
That's fine. Lucky Murray.
Yesterday, and this is the age we live in that I really hate, is that it's almost impossible to be original. So I work for CBS6 in Albany, and – when we do our shows, when I produce, I try to come up with witty, they're called supers. It's the lower part of the screen where you see there's someone's name who's talking. So Tom Goz, ESPN Radio. I try to get witty, try to get punny. And so I was writing the recap for the Bills Cardinals. And I'm not kidding. I did not see it on social media. I came up with Hail Murray pretty quick. I was like, oh, cool. But then I just immediately thought, like, there's no way I'm the first one that came up with this. Sure enough, go on Twitter. Oh. There's already a freaking hashtag, Hail Murray. So now I look like I'm stealing someone else's idea. I swear to God, it was an original thought, but obviously I'm not the only one who came up with it. Anyway, I think it's a great – dude, Hail Mary, Hail Murray, come on. It's great.
No, I'm fine. Like I told you guys, like, that was an incredible drive by the Bills. And it was like, holy crap, it's not over. And what I texted in our group chat, I literally said, it's not over. They still have two timeouts.
Right.
And they have DeAndre Hopkins. And you saw D-Hop. So I'm not mad. Those are going to happen. It's the NFL. 7-3, it is what it is. But lucky throw in the air to one of the best wide receivers in the league. Yeah, it is what it is.
You know, Kyle, I got a question for you here. Levesque and I had this discussion on Monday about the Bills fans. Don't losses like that hurt way worse than losses when the Bills stink? I feel like when your team's competitive and you lose a game like that, your attitude's not, oh, well, you know, we still got a chance for the playoffs and division title, which may be true. Maybe we look back and it's not a big deal. But I feel like when your team's good, those losses hurt way more if the Bills were like 6-10.
I don't feel like it that way, because when I'm 6-10, I'm looking at all the nitpicky stuff that would make us a better team versus this one. I had one of the best tandem safeties on Hopkins plus Tre'Davious White on Hopkins, and he just out jumped him. I shrug my shoulders and go, it is what it is. I mean, but that's why D-Hop is incredible and why the Texans are complete morons.
Oh, absolutely. That's going to go down as one of the worst. It already has gone down as one of the worst easily I've ever seen. Because what's David Johnson done this year? Bill O'Brien, you son of a gun. I wish that there had been more cameras on, like, all of our faces when that play happened. Like, my mouth was agape for, like, literally 5 minutes. Because they showed so many angles of that replay. Unbelievable play by DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
And so, and I asked you guys this, and one of our friends said it wasn't said, but I saw it all over Twitter. Did you guys hear, did Ian Eagle say that Stephon Diggs is the best wide receiver in football?
Yes.
He did say it. Okay. Because I missed it. I didn't hear it. But then I saw people on Twitter say it. Is that one of, like, it's, I'm not calling it a jinx, but, like, that is pretty hilarious that was said. On what was a great drive, Kyle said Josh Allen led another game-winning, you know, potential game-winning drive. Stephon Diggs had a great game. He's been phenomenal with the Bills. There's a great connection with Allen. But – I mean, that's pretty great that he says, and I don't think anyone really views Stephon Diggs as the best wide receiver.
Ooh, all right. So that's where I'm curious, because it feels like Hopkins heard.
Right. I heard someone on the radio. It might have been you and Levesque, guys, where someone like, did someone in the Cardinals booth call down to the sideline, like, put D-Hop on the phone. They just said Stephon Diggs is the best. What are you going to do about it?
All right, so let me ask, because honestly, that was going to be one of my mirages today. Real mirage, is DeAndre Hopkins the best? And if it was, he didn't catch the ball. Like, Diggs is having a great season. I think it's one of those classics, most outstanding versus most valuable. Josh Allen might be the most outstanding player for the Bills, but maybe Diggs is the most valuable Bill.
I think Diggs might be viewed as one of the most underrated in football. Like he never gets brought up in that discussion. It's always the same guys. I mean, Decaf has been the newcomer to that group of in the argument of who's the best. But it's always the same guys for the last 5 years. It's been DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, who's been hurt this year, Julio Jones. Like we've had the same guys that are in that discussion, and DK's joined it. Stephon Diggs is never even brought up. And I think that's the reason they played with Kirk Cousins for all the beginning part of his career. But now in Buffalo, like with a more competent quarterback with a bigger arm like Josh Allen, we've seen Stephon Diggs is one of the most unguardable guys in football.
Should be the instruction manual on how to run routes.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. So actually, I was going to bring up this point because, first, one more thing about the D-Hop Stephon thing. I completely forgot that they were traded on the same day.
Yeah, wild, right?
So let me ask you this. Well, it's going to be a two-part question. The first one's going to be a quicker one. Who's been the bigger, I don't know if I want to call it an X factor, who has been more valuable on their new team? Has it been Stephon Diggs on the Bills, or has it been DeAndre Hopkins on the Cardinals? Because it's a very similar situation where both teams needed a guy, like needed that guy to make their offense more explosive, and both of them have delivered in almost the same way.
I think you have to go who's made the bigger impact is Stephon Diggs. He has evolved that offense to where now it's not John Brown who needs to run all the primary routes. He has opened up the board to Cole Beasley, who has not been able to see those kind of underneath routes because Diggs is consistently getting that over-the-top safety help. Don't get me wrong. DeAndre Hopkins, I think, has evolved the Murray offense because he can make those crazy catches. But I think Stephon Diggs has evolved that Bills offense to what we saw, a Josh Allen that was averaging 220 yards a game, if that, 61% passing, if even that, I think it was like 58 last year, to a 300 yards per game, 70% passer completion rating. Just that offense, that passing attack is unreal.
I agree with Kyle. I feel like Hopkins may still be a better wide receiver because he's been more consistent over years, but the Cardinals probably are still a good team without Hopkins because of the offense. They're a lot better with him. What is Buffalo without Diggs? Mm-hmm. Are the Dolphins closer? Are they in the mix for potentially not being a playoff team because of how competitive the 6-3 teams are in the AFC? I will go with Diggs, but boy, it's close, and it's a really good question.
All right, here's the second part of that question. If you could have, in fantasy football, one of these duos, which one would you prefer? Would you rather have the duo, and again, this is in fantasy
terms. I know where you're going with this.
Would you rather have Murray and D-Hop? Would you rather have Allen and Diggs? I'll throw in, how about Wilson or DK? Rodgers or Adams? Mahomes or Hill? And if you wanted to replace Hill with Kelsey. So what is the best on the same team fantasy duo that you would want to have?
That's a great man. Chet's been nailing these questions today. Yep. I would go Murray and Hopkins only because it's very close across the board for those guys. My difference is the rushing touchdown still. Is he top two now in the league? I believe like Cam Newton's third and Murray's second in rushing touchdowns. That's 6-4 points. Doesn't seem like a huge deal, but it absolutely is. That's why I give the edge to Murray and Hopkins.
I think I have to agree with guys just because of the legs,
right?
And the way that, you know, my feeling on Murray as a passing quarterback, Hopkins can catch anything, and Murray's legs are just so much more valuable. I think it's probably not as far as a lot of people think, like, oh no, it's Murray and D-Hop. I think Josh Allen is probably number two, followed by Mahomes and Hill/Kelsey. The only reason I put Mahomes and Kelsey/Hill at three is because there's those two weapons versus you got the Allen and Diggs one that you know you're going to get the guaranteed routes and catches by Diggs, where one game it's all going to go to Kelsey, one game it's all going to go to Hill, or it's an even split and each one gets 12 points or something like that.
No love for Rodgers and Adams, huh?
No, Rodgers is
too. Adams has been unstoppable.
Adams, yes. Rodgers has been very inconsistent in some games. Like, he'll just put up a dud.
Yeah, I guess Rodgers, compared to those other five quarterbacks, he's the least likely to run. Mahomes isn't too far behind either. But, yeah, the other three guys. Wilson hasn't run a lot this year either, but a couple bad games for Wilson back-to-back. Yeah, I think it's a great discussion. I would probably go Murray D-Hop as well. I think the ceiling is highest for Murray because of the ability to rush, and he's been so consistent. So, yeah, I'd probably go Murray D-Hop as well. Maybe, just maybe, will Jameis Winston and Michael Thomas join that group at some point this year? Probably not. But he is an interesting waiver wire ad. Quarterback is going to be an interesting play this week. It's getting crunch time in your fantasy leagues. You likely have 3 weeks left to either solidify a playoff spot, earn that first round bye, whatever it may be. But the Bills are on a bye. So every team, I mean, Josh Allen should be started in 100% of leagues. So those teams are looking for a quarterback. Drew Brees out for at least 2 to 3 weeks. I don't know about you. I'm not a doctor. I haven't seen the records. I do have a future brother-in-law who has seen the records, but he can't tell me any information. But I mean, that's
whoa. Go back. What are you talking about? You got a connection? Oh, yeah.
So my fiance's brother-in-law works for Ochsner Hospital, which they read the medical records for the Saints. But he is obviously sworn because of HIPAA. He can't tell me anything.
Wow.
I mean, as someone who he is actually a huge fantasy football player, I feel like that's a completely unfair advantage. He knows everything that's wrong with Drew Brees. But yeah, I mean, from the sounds of it, absolutely brutal. Broken ribs on both sides. Was it a collapsed lung? I saw a picture of him yesterday blowing into that machine that has to inflate his lungs. Like, that guy's in rough shape. And I don't know when he's going to come back, but right now it looks like Jameis Winston. Well, it's his time to shine in that Saints offense. Is he the future in New Orleans? But we'll start that. I'm going to Kyle take over with the waiver wire in a second. But let's just talk about that. With the Buccaneers, Jameis Winston was the biggest wild card in fantasy. Had the ability to get you 30 points or -5 with how many interceptions. The Mr. 30 for 30. What do we think? Do we have any trust in Jameis Winston running that Saints offense?
I do, and he is the number one waiver ad for me this week. Couple reasons why. Obviously, if you guys looked, you know who he's playing. He is playing the Atlanta Falcons. Woof, that secondary. So,
right.
That secondary is hot garbage. I think he's a great waiver wire ad for somebody like me who has Josh Allen in two leagues, and I need that backup quarterback. I also think there's going to be a huge difference when you can actually see Jameis Winston take a few minutes in the pocket. He's got some pass protection around him, unlike in Tampa Bay last year. There were a lot of issues with their Jameis rolling out of the pocket. That's where he got himself in trouble throwing those across-the-body throws. So I actually like Jameis Winston there, and I also think Kamara is going to help him a tremendous amount by being able to bail him out on those short throws when nothing's open downfield.
I love Jameis Winston. For fantasy purposes, remember, was he a top 5 fantasy finisher last year because of all the touchdowns? Now, the interceptions put him back, but I believe he was top 3 in yards and touchdowns in 2019. And I always say believe because it's like, did that really happen? Like, was Jameis Winston really that good statistically? And he was. Here's the other thing that jumps out to me about Winston. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see him actually get into the game against the Niners. I know we had it on the radio side here at 104.5 The Team. Doesn't he look smaller? Is he on, like, the keto diet? Is he doing the whole 30?
I think he looks seeing a lot of
significantly crabs, or maybe he's not eating the crabs.
He's paying for it this time, though.
Small, right? He looks like tiny compared to what he used to look like.
Yep.
And we have to bring up, didn't he have LASIK surgery? Isn't that a thing?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know, no more squinting when he looks over to the sideline or trying to see his receivers downfield. I think Sean Payton can do wonders for him. And I also wonder, I mean, he looked pretty sharp when they didn't ask him to do a lot when he took over for Breeze in that Niners game. But, like, this is the first time in Jameis Winston's career where he was able to take a step back, right? Like, get back to learning, reading a defense. I think things started to snowfall in Tampa Bay when you're throwing so many interceptions in a season. And then, like, it's hard to make those adjustments in a week. You know, like, before you know it, you're back out there and you're making the same mistakes again. I think this is a better team, better situation for him where they're not going to ask him to throw it deep down the field all the time. Like Kyle said, trust Alvin Kamara. Trust Michael Thomas on slants. Like, we're not going to ask you to do a whole lot. And we saw Teddy Bridgewater take over last season. And how effective was he, you know, coming in and taking over Drew Brees? So I agree. I think he's absolutely worth an ad. If you need him this week, you're going to play him. If you have a better option, stash him and see what it looks like, because you're going to have a few weeks where you're going to be able to see, hey, if he does well against the Falcons, you're going to have confidence in him the week after. So yeah, I think he's absolutely worth an ad.
Yep. My top running back of the week. So there's a couple running backs that I can think you can actually look at adding. I'll save number my big one, but I think you can look at adding Ahmad from the Dolphins. The only thing I want to caution people on is this 1 week. Do not fall under the recency bias.
He looks good though. He looks fast.
Like, yes, for sure.
And then you saw what happened yesterday. The Dolphins released Jordan Howard.
Yep.
So they obviously like what they see, but you're going to have Matt Breida maybe coming back at some point. But it amazes me. It's just another example of I think teams overvalue running backs. Like, sure, Christian McCaffrey's a game changer. Dalvin Cook's a game changer. But if you have a solid offensive line and a good scheme, clearly what the Dolphins have shown on Sunday is you can plug a guy. How many people have heard of him, honestly?
None. Zero.
Nas, have you ever heard of him?
No.
I don't know where he went to school. I don't know where he came from. And he looked great. Like, you have to have an explosive ability. Don't get me wrong. But if you are able to open holes for a running back, you're gonna be just fine. So yeah, I was completely surprised when I saw him, you know, busting off some big runs. Do I have confidence in it? I don't know.
The other one that I think you could take a flyer on, just he's a temporary ad, and I think we mentioned him last week. Still, Blige is available in a lot of leagues.
Yeah.
So
grab him. You guys laughed at me a little bit last week.
I did.
He's looking pretty good.
40 carries over the last two weeks.
Dude, they're feeding him, man.
Yep.
And he's been productive. He's moving the ball.
Yep. And then the biggest ad I think that's still out there, it's weird because if you're playing in Yahoo leagues, the percent rostered is ridiculously low compared to ESPN. Naheem Hines. And the reason I put him there, he's 52% rostered in ESPN leagues. Somehow he's not rostered in all leagues. Yahoo, he's rostered in 19%. So, Yahoo players, get your head out of your butt. He needs to be in a lot of rosters.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second. We always talk about recency bias. So, obviously, Naheem Hines looked great on Thursday Night Football against the Titans. There still is Jonathan Taylor. There still is Wilkins. Is that one of those – are you starting Naheem Hines?
I think if you're in a tight spot.
He's like a flex play? He's a flex – that's how you kind of do him?
I think he's a great flex play. And if you look at it, so he led all the running backs in snaps last week, touches and total yards, obviously. This was his third multi-touchdown game. He gets involved in the passing game more than any of them. And only once has he had only under one catch, and that was his worst game of the year at Minnesota. So just the passing ability helps. The rotation at running back helps. I think I love your point of him being a flex player. And if you're in a tight spot because of how tough running backs have been and you have a bye week running back, you might not be a bad running back to play.
Let me even go further with the Colts as a team, because as we've been talking, all my mirages are coming out. So, like, we're doing this segment now, which is great. Really, Mirage, the Colts are the toughest team to figure out when it comes to starting players weekly in fantasy football.
Real.
I would go real, too, because you mentioned Hines. You have Taylor. Wilkins, how about the wide receivers?
I don't think they're startable.
Well, there you go. Like, I have a situation in one league where I had a couple guys on bye this week. You have Pascal, who should have gotten to the end zone, but gets called back. And you had Michael Pittman, who had over 100 yards receiving. So, like, I got a guy who's going over 100 yards in November with Phillip Rivers. If he gets in the end zone, he gives me a double-digit game on a bye week. Like, I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing with the Colts. I think they're the toughest team, the team of, oh, my God, what am I doing? You're just staring at it on Sunday before kickoff. Like, I'm going to lose a game because I'm going to start the wrong Colt guy on offense. Real for me. And maybe you're right, Chad. Like, if you're at this point and you're balancing Colt players, you're probably not good as a team. Like, your team's probably
four. Probably struggling. Yeah. You invested in any – in your draft, you invested in the Colts, you're probably kicking yourself. Because – so, all right, here you go. How would you currently – going into this week, who are the Colts playing? Does anybody know off the top of their head?
I actually have it right here. They are playing the Green Bay Packers.
Like I said, the Packers.
Okay, so for you guys, rank for me where you would put the Colt running backs. I'm assuming Wilkins is at three, right? We can all agree on that. What do you feel with Hines versus Taylor? I mean, Taylor has been on the injury report. He's obviously based on the snaps last week, because I didn't have to see the numbers just from watching the game, Hines was out there way more. Like, because I had a friend who was, you know, making the decision of, do I bench Jonathan Taylor, do I play them? And they decided to bench Taylor. And so we paid attention to that backfield all game. We're like, dude, Taylor's not even in the game. And you can see him with his bright blue shoes. So, yeah, where do you feel? Do you feel more confident starting Hines or Taylor this week?
If you look at the past three games, I have to go Hines.
I agree.
Because okay. Detroit, 11 carries.
You already said it. It's the pass-catching ability.
Yep. But also, the carries keep dwindling compared to Hines. 11, 6, 7. Hines is getting double-digit carries. I mean, I think you got to go there. And the pass-catching ability, it's a 2-for-1.
And the dude has the ability to do a misty in the end zone.
Yes.
Can you talk about that? Like, my knees rattle every time I see him do that. And so I guess I'm turning into an old man, I guess. I don't know. Like, I see that, and I'm like, I cringe because I'm like, don't hurt yourself. Like, we've seen it happen. Wasn't it Houston who he did the sacks?
Yes. Two of them.
And all he did was jump. All he did was jump. Hines is doing a literal freaking misty flip that I haven't seen anybody do since that snowboarder game on PlayStation, SSX, whatever the hell it was. Like, dude, I couldn't do that move on a trampoline. And he's doing it on the turf. And, like, he did it twice. Was it 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago? And the second one, he almost didn't do the full rotation. He almost face planted. But, like, if I'm the coaching staff, I'm like, Naheem, stop it. Like, you already did your freaking cool jump and you survived it. Don't do it again. Like, anyway, I think I prefer Naheem Hines this week.
I would too. And can we all stay, like, maybe in the future, stay away from Wisconsin running backs and fantasy? Because it seems like they drive us all nuts, right? Melvin Gordon, Jonathan Taylor. Monty Ball actually had an okay start, I believe, to like halfway through his rookie year. James White is always tricky. All Wisconsin running back. Melvin Gordon, but like all of them, it seems like they drive us nuts in fantasy.
I also called it last year. I thought, especially this year when I saw he was going to the Colts in that offensive line, I said Jonathan Taylor was going to be the offensive rookie of the year, and it wasn't even going to be close. But he has kind of regressed quite a bit as the season went on.
I'm gonna touch on this in a second. Actually, Kyle, you finish your waiver wire, and then I'll circle back.
The last one that I want to throw on the waiver wire there, and kind of shocked me a little bit that this many people dropped him versus threw him on his IR. Sammy Watkins might come back. Sammy Watkins is available in 31.8% of leagues. There's a lot of talk about Jalen Reagor, but Wentz is a bum, so I'm staying away from him. But Watkins coming back from that hamstring, yep, Sammy Hammy is a thing. But he's worth having a roster spot, especially with the emergence and how many targets Robinson and Hardman are giving combined without him. But also, Hardman is currently being out. So even if that puts Sammy at the 3, you have him on your bench for a week, maybe he comes back and has an explosive game. But that just makes that offense a little more lethal. I think Sammy Watkins deserves a roster spot and a potential flex play in some leagues, especially coming down playoff time.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right, back to Taylor real quick. I wasn't planning on doing this, but how disappointing have rookie running backs been?
Oof.
DeAndre Swift is finally coming into his own. I'm not sure what the hell took so long in Detroit for them to realize that he's their best running back. Glad he's finally taking over that role. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire, after a hot start, has been very disappointing. Cam Akers, you might have dropped him at this point because he's not doing really anything in that Rams offense. He's the third guy, somehow behind Malcolm Brown and Henderson. Jonathan Taylor, touchdown dependent, really slowed down. Injuries might be that. J.K. Dobbins, that whole Ravens backfield, you can't start. Zach Moss, he might be able to make his way into your lineup if he's able to continue to take away touches from Singletary. But, like, literally the only guys that have been great, there might only be one. And he's all the way at the bottom, James Robinson. Mm-hmm. Might be the best rookie. I mean, he is the best rookie running back right now. But all the guys that we anticipated to have big roles, man, how disappointing is that have the rookie running backs been?
It's weird because, like, you can say – I think we actually covered this in an earlier podcast, too, of in drafts, it's good to take a flyer or a risk on a rookie wide receiver because a rookie wide receiver can pay off. We touched on how good the wide receivers have been. I think we're starting to learn you can't risk going with rookie running backs high because that can completely blow up your season. If you get guys who are putting up donuts or like 3 or 4 and you just sitting there wasting away in your starting lineup, it can cost you an entire playoff spot. I think in 2021, when we start evaluating the running back position, those top tier guys may be more important than ever And it's going to be weird because Barkley got hurt, McCaffrey got hurt, and a lot of these impact players weren't playing. But, boy, the risk at running backs. And I wouldn't be shocked next year if we see more of these, like, Wayne Gallman, Davis, these handcuffed picks even happening before the final round. Like, some people like flyers on the backups of the best. The running back rookie risk, I think, is over for fantasy managers.
I think more than ever, you have to assess situations. Like what Kyle said, I mean, Jonathan Taylor coming out of college is great, but you have to look at, okay, what's that Colts backfield going to look like? And it's amazing. Jonathan Taylor hasn't been what we thought he was going to be, and that's after the injury to – why am I drawing a blank of his name?
Oh, Lord. M?
I'm saying Mac, but that's not right.
Marlon Mack.
Holy cow, it is Mac.
The Mac daddy.
So Mac goes down, and it's still a running back by committee. You look at J.K. Dobbins. We all thought coming out, okay, I mean, J.K. Dobbins is explosive coming out of Ohio State. Like, he's going to take over for Mark Ingram, right? How many people worried about Gus Edwards? So I think more than ever, when you're going to assess these rookie running backs, like, it has to be a clear cut. This guy will not have competition. And that's what we thought with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he didn't have competition at first. You couldn't have predicted Le'Veon Bell getting traded for that team. And even though Bell wasn't cut in that much, but you don't want a guy to come in and take away touches, right? But I think more than ever, you're just going to have to assess, okay, what will this look like? If there's going to be a committee for a rookie, you might want to stay away because maybe you're going to be wrong, but look at Cam Akers. We all thought he was going to take over and be RB1. He's in a committee, and he's the number three guy. So, yeah, super disappointing. I thought a lot of those guys were going to be way more productive than they were. So at this point of the season, miracles are very much welcomed, right? Like, you need the wins to get into the playoffs. We're gonna tell you our bold picks of the week for week 11. But before we do that, Gaz and I both experienced fantasy miracles. I'll start, Gaz. So I had already chalked up a loss. My dynasty team completely underperformed. Thank you, James Conner. Thank you, AJ Brown. Just, thank you, frickin' Jared Goff. Golly, that was frustrating. So, yeah, I'd already been like, oh, I lost. It's over. Going into Sunday Night Football, I thought it was completely over. The guy I was playing had Cam Newton in the Ravens' defense. I was already down. All I had left was my defense. My defense just happened to be the Minnesota Vikings. The magic number for me to win was 12. And I got 12, baby. I could not believe it. That was a Vikings defense, if I'm not mistaken, heading into that game, was averaging 1 point per game. One of the worst defenses in fantasy in the entire league. Playing against the Bears team, the reason I started them is the Bears offense is pathetic right now. And so I was just praying. I was like, it wasn't even like I was praying because I'd already conceded. I'd already accepted that I was going to lose. I was going to fall in the standings. I didn't even check my phone until near halftime, and they were at 11. And I was like, oh, hello there. Of course, the second half opens with that Cordero Patterson kickoff return for a touchdown. And I was like, oh, of course, it's over. They freaking did it, man. 12 points, maybe saved my season. Absolutely shocking. I won by decimal points over this guy because I needed 12, and I got a 12.
Yeah, can I also add that you won by 35 yards? They had 165 total yards.
So by 35 yards and by 1 point.
Yeah, that 1 point is because one of –
if they had kicked a field goal in the second half, I lost. Unbelievable. I think we talked about this before we get to Gaz's miracle because Gaz loves to bring up ways to improve a fantasy league based on settings. Do you think there should be a setting that you could add where you get a half a point to your defense if you force a three and out?
No.
No.
Why not? You could have, yeah. You could have a defense because it values turnover so much, right? Like if you get the interception, if you get the fumble recovery, your defense, which I'm bringing up the Vikings, they forced three consecutive three and outs and didn't get any points from it because they weren't getting sacks. They weren't actually forcing a turnover, but they were actually – I think the stat was the Bears had three drives for, like, negative 3 yards. But there's no fantasy value in that, aside from not getting up.
Chet, I'm going to ask you that same question next week. Here's why you're asking that. Because you're sitting there watching the Vikings saying, this defense is playing so good. Why am I not getting points for this? You've gone through everything every fantasy manager does. I'll ask you that same question next week because I think your answer will be different.
If my defense sucks?
I'm playing? Have no impact on your victory, yes. You were looking for any way to win like every other fantasy manager.
I think it's just – it's so hit or miss with defenses and special teams. Obviously, the biggest one is if your defense can score a touchdown, right? Like, that is just – if you're able to get that on a weekly team or it happens for you, like, you're doing
something. Patriots of last year?
What's that?
The Patriots of last year?
Right, where it seemed like they were getting a pick six every other week, if not more. I don't know. I just think there's got to be a way where we could tweak defenses where you get rewarded for more than just – like another example is, you know, because I was intently watching that Vikings defense last night. They were crushing Foles, but if they didn't get the sack, like, I don't know if intentional grounding should be a point. Like,
there were, I don't know. There are three options that I think that they should look at adding. Return yards for both punt and kickoffs. I think if you get like 100 punt and kickoff return yards, it's a point. Number two is fourth down stops. So if you stop a team on fourth down, it should be 1 point.
That's a turnover.
Intentional grounding should also count as a sack. You will not change my mind on that.
I agree with actually all three of those.
Ooh. Yeah.
But then, Kyle, on the flip side, do you think that kick return and punt yards should go into a category that works against the defense? Because I thought about that yesterday where, like, if you get a great kickoff return, it shortens the field for the offense, right?
Yep.
So then your defense gives up less yards. So it's almost like as a defense, you're like, if I have the Vikings, I am rooting for the Bears to have a great punt return because it cuts the field in half.
Right. I think the hard part about it being tracked would be touchbacks. Do you count touchback yardage?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So
I would say just like you would track.
Just a physical return yards.
Yeah, right. Because
yeah, so
like I said, let's say if your Cordell Patterson got tackled at the 10-yard line, your defense gave up no yardage on that entire drive,
right?
Because he returned it all the way. You know what I mean? So I was thinking about that. So I think was it Anthony Miller?
Yeah, he had another really good return,
a great punt return, and I was pumped up about it. So I was like, oh wow, I'm not gonna, and that could have cost me the game. If they had started that drive at the 20 and somehow moved the ball, which apparently they can't do, I could have lost that game. But because they had a punt return that got them to midfield, I was like, great, let's just stop them here. And they end up going for it on fourth down and missing it, and I wound up winning. Guys, what was your miracle this week?
Mine's not as cool as yours. Yours is way better. I'm just going to say I'm playing Jared in our WTF Media League, and I was up 2 going into Monday night. He had Jimmy Graham. 2. Two, like a top 5 tight end. All he needs is basically 2 catches, and he beats me because the yards are going to come. Donut, and I win.
No,
by 2.
Jimmy had a donut.
That one's not as fun because remember every play matters, and the Bears are losing. So all it was going to maybe take was 1 catch and 20 yards might have come. So there I am, like watching every second, hoping Jimmy Graham's out of the field, and I win. All Jimmy Graham needed was 2 points, and I would have lost.
So you're like holding your breath on every snap.
Yeah, I like, couldn't watch.
Looking at where is Jimmy's? Oh man, those are brutal. I don't know which one was more uncomfortable. I was a little bit safer on that final drive because they needed a touchdown, so I wasn't worried about a field goal, and the yardage was almost irrelevant because I think Kyle said they needed 40 more yards, but they were at the 50, so it was like either they were scoring or the yardage. Like I just needed a stop. But yeah, when you're like rooting against the player on every single snap, we've all been there. And it's brutal. I don't even know if I would have been able to watch. I would just have to turn the game off and just, like, open my phone after the game and figure out if I won or lost. But who's leading that WCF league, by the way?
I believe
I lost this week. I think it's all pretty
Kyle, right? And then me and LeVac are both in the top 2 spots. And I think Jared's also up there somewhere.
Come on, I got to be up there, too. Are we in different divisions?
Yeah, Chet, you're leading your division. It goes Chet, LeVac. In the West, it's me and Gaz. But
look at that. Kyle's 8-2, but I have outscored Kyle by 120 points.
Yep.
Look at that. Isn't that something? Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. So, for people that don't know, this is our Albany Media League. Kyle, yes, you were included in the media because you are a professional podcaster. But we got guys at the CBS station.
Levack said he wanted to remind everybody he's in second place.
I'm going
to
be and you smoked me this week. I did not without Chris Carson, the lacking I got.
Without Chris Carson,
I have another league too. Yeah, yeah. You beat me with Mike Davis and Kalen Ballage.
Woo!
Yeah, my team did great.
We have a we mentality on Team Love Action, whereas no player is greater than the whole of the team.
Who balled out for you this week? Who was it? Justin Jefferson did well for you. Who's been a great ad.
Tommy Brady killed you.
Yeah.
Tommy Brady. Call me boy. Yeah.
Gronk got a touchdown. That was tough.
It had to feel really terrible to throw John Brown on the scrap heap and then have him be part of beating you when I picked him up in free agency.
Oh, he's been garbage. It's not his fault.
Double digit points.
Double digits. I'll give you that.
All right. I'll see you guys. I gotta go work. I can't sit around like Gaz does all the time.
Hey.
See you, Levack. Levack and Gaz. Check him out on 104.5 The Team. So since we want to help you guys get into your playoffs, we want you to win your league. We're gonna give you the bold pick of the week. We kind of did this last year on the podcast where we predicted which players were going to go above or below their projections. I think we called it the block 'em or block 'em. So it's going to be similar to that. And I will start it off. My bold pick of the week, it's going to be very similar to my bold pick in the preseason. I told you guys Justin Jefferson was going to be a stud this year. He has lived up to expectation. He had a couple of down weeks recently, but looked awesome last night on Monday night against the Bears. Jefferson is projected at 10.3 this week. I am predicting he's going to double his projection, meaning he is going to be a 20-point performer this week going against the Dallas Cowboys, one of the worst defenses in football, ranked 30th against receivers in fantasy this year. Jefferson hasn't scored a touchdown since week 6. We are now in week 11. I think Jefferson's going to find the end zone at least one time. And again, he is going to have 20 fantasy points. If you have Justin Jefferson, start him. You should have been starting him already because he's been great. I think Justin Jefferson's going to have a big week.
So my bold prediction of the week is very similar to Chet's with a double point projection. Well, almost double points. I'm not going to say he's going to drop 34 on you. I think Jameis Winston's going to throw up 25 this week. Projected at 16.7 going against the Atlanta Falcons. I also don't – I'm going to call it right now. He's not going to throw a pick. No interceptions for Jameis Winston this week. Okay. Jameis Winston, 25 points, 3 touchdowns. Give me it. No picks.
You're just saying that because you're adding him on your team. And I will give – we have not done this in a while. Kyle, I want to do a beer bet with you. Jameis Winston will throw a pick.
Done.
Do you want in on this, guys? Do you want in on the pick?
I'm going to stay away from that one because I don't know. Okay. I kind of want to see Jameis do well, and I've seen enough Winston picks that's hurt me over the years.
You know what? I appreciate that with you guys because as you're wearing your Tampa Bay Buccaneers sweatshirt, not a lot of fans would still root for a guy who was a massive disappointment to their franchise. But I know I appreciate that, man. Like, I guess because you're a good guy. You're just a good guy.
My bold prediction is Michael Pittman Jr. kind of teased it a little earlier. 9.3 is his number. They get the Packers. Here's the thing. If you think the Packers are going to blow away the Colts, which they could because the Colts are coming off a win against the Titans, but a little longer to prep, then they're going to throw the football a little bit. I think Pittman's going to become the number one target in Indianapolis after a 100-yard game, double-digit performance last week. I like Michael Pittman Jr. to have a monster game for the Colts.
Are you going to put
how hard it is. Yeah, after I said how hard it is for the Colts players to start, now I'm going to start them this week.
So how monster are you going to say, just so we have like a basis on whether you're going to be correct or wrong, are you going to do a point total? Do you want to say he's going to be a top 20 play at wide receiver?
I will say he will be a top 10 wide receiver, so like 15 points, like a touchdown, 6 catches, 80
you're
yards.
You're saying
like
he's going to be a wide receiver one this week?
Yes.
Wow. I'm writing this down. I'm going to end it with LOL. That is a bold play. I hope you're right, Michael Pittman. He did look good, man. He was explosive on that Thursday night game. I wonder if, like, because it was a Thursday night game, not as many people watch, right? Like, you know, you might have bedtime on Thursday or you just don't care about the Titans or Colts. And because it was on Thursday, you might have already forgotten, like, the fantasy relevant players and the waiver wire ads. Dude, he looked like the real deal in that game.
His dad also, a lot of people think it's work done. His dad was the one who was the running back for the Bucs when they won the Super Bowl. So maybe I'm a little bit biased on that too.
Oh, you're absolutely biased. You're two of the most biased people I've ever talked to. Kyle and the Bills, you and the Bucs. Come on. I can't even see you, and I know you just blew a kiss at me.
Yes, I did.
Nasty. All right. We really basically already covered most of the real and mirages. Maybe we should do more of a prep show to figure out what they're going to be, because we kind of destroyed Gaz's real and mirage this week. We already talked about most of them. You have one left, though, right? One final real mirage for us.
Real mirage. Depth is overrated in fantasy football.
Well, I got this is like when you take a test and you have to read whether it's not – like you have to make sure you're answering it correctly. So you're saying it is overrated? Say the question again.
Real mirage. Depth is overrated in fantasy football.
Mirage.
I'm going to go real.
You think depth's overrated?
I think depth's a little overrated in fantasy football. It puts you in too weird of a spot of going, okay, I've got – pretend there's just one and one. I have to start either DeAndre Hopkins or Stephon Diggs. Who do I start? Or I have to start Josh Jacobs. I think it puts you at a spot where you go, okay, well, I'm going to start this person. And then as soon as it backfires, you hate yourself for it. And then you're second-guessing yourself, and it becomes a colluded mess. I actually kind of think that's a strong point, that too much depth is definitely a disadvantage.
I disagree, because you are – if you don't have depth, you're an injury away from being out of it. So, like, if you don't have a running back to replace, let's say your top pick was Ezekiel Elliott. Well, it's a personal example. You know, Saquon Barkley, my top running back. If I don't have somebody, and you might get lucky on the waiver, but you might not. Like if you don't have waiver priority and you miss out on some of these guys, every week you're going to have to roll the dice with somebody. And so if you have a guy that, because we've seen so many injuries at every level, every position, whether it's CMC, whether it's Saquon, whether it's Dak Prescott, if you're having to rely on the waiver wire every week, you're likely not going to be successful. And so finding a way to have depth, you get to play the matchups more. You feel more confident whether you have a James Conner who has a bad matchup and you can then play somebody else. And, yeah, sometimes you might get it wrong. You might bench a guy who scores two touchdowns, but I'd rather have that option than just every week being stuck with guys who I know are not going to get the touches. And then the other flip side of it is if you have depth for most of the season, then when you get close to the trade deadline, you have options. Whether if you want to make a push and you have a guy who's been in and out of your lineup, you don't know whether to play him or not, but he's good enough where you could pull off a trade to improve a position. So I think depth is only going to hurt your psyche. It's going to hurt your ego because, like Kyle said, you might get it wrong. But you can't tell me that having those guys isn't going to make your team. It's going to make your team better. You're going to have more flexibility.
I like both your answers. I don't want to answer now because you both done a great job of – okay, all right, I'll answer. I would go with mirage. No, I'll go with real. It is overrated just because of this. If you don't get any injuries on your team, which you'd be the greatest and luckiest manager ever, there is no value on your bench. Now, of course, you use it for bye weeks, but if a guy's on your bench, he's going to score zero. He's going to score zero. You mentioned trades, Chet. Now, if you've got a league where you can trade future draft picks – way more beneficial because the biggest fear is you trade away a bench player who ends up being a starter for a competitor in your team, and they've gained the value when you got a zero back. So I'll go with real, but going through some of my teams this year, I wish I was better at depth because some of my teams just got derailed after injuries.
Right. Just because of the running back position and how slim pickings it is every week on the waiver wire, if you lose your RB1, it's probably over. It really is probably over. And so to what Kyle was saying, and maybe this is kind of like adding a nuance to your question, depth won't help you in the playoffs. Depth helps you throughout the season because of bye weeks, because of injuries. But once you get to the playoffs, guys going off on your bench are not going to help you win, right? So
right.
I think it can help you get to the playoffs. You have to be a solid GM and figure out if you can make a move. And Gaz brings up a great point because I'm in that situation now is if you're going to make a trade, you don't want to make a playoff contender better. because then they might beat you in the playoffs. So you have to try to be, find a way to pick that team that is trying to make a playoff push. Maybe you're already set and locked. You know you're making the playoffs. And there's a team that's, you know, teetering on making it or not making it. And you're like, oh, I'll throw you a bone because you might not even be there in the end. And then the player you get in return could be a difference maker. So, yeah, I think you would always want depth, whether it's real football, fake football, give me the depth. Because that just means you drafted well, right? If you have depth, that means you hit some of your late picks. Maybe you landed some guys on. You got James Robinson early in the waiver or Mike Davis. Yeah, give me those guys. Give me those guys. So last part, we're going back to it. It's become a regular here on What the Fantasy Podcast. The name game. Guys that have nicknames in football, or if you're Quintoris, it's not even a nickname to get to Julio. So we've had fun with this. I think the overall standings, I think Kyle is now 2-1.
Yep, I lost last week.
Lost last week. Gaz is technically 0-2, but I'll give him a win.
Yeah.
He actually just knew the answer. So, I mean, that
– you got to give him a win for that, for sure.
So Gaz is now 1-2 on the name game. This week we're going with a rookie. Kyle, I think Kyle's going to have a little bit of an advantage being the Big Ten correspondent that he is. Do you guys want to guess who it is?
I already know it.
Do you know the name?
J.K. Dobbins.
Do you know the real name?
I believe I do.
Ooh, that's not fair. All right, well, we'll see if he knows it. Do you know it, Gaz?
I don't.
Okay, so J.K. Dobbins is our guy, the rookie for the Ravens, who's been majorly disappointing. It's not really his fault. Is it A, Just Kidding Dobbins?
Jesus.
Is it B, Justin Kyle Dobbins? Is it C, Jakeel Dobbins? Is it D, Jakalen Dobbins?
Guys, go ahead. D. I do know it.
D.
Yep, he's right, D.
That's the first time this year that you have both been correct. J.K. Dobbins' name is Jakalen Dobbins.
You almost got me with C, and I was like, ooh, is that right? And then you said Jakalen. I was like, yep, nope, that's it.
That rings the bell.
I have nothing else to say.
Dobbins?
I'm leaving this podcast. This is the best I'll ever do. Goodbye, and I'll see you next week.
Later, guys.
Bye, guys. That means Kyle gets the final word.
I don't have a final word after what happened this week for my Bills. Good luck this week.
We're going to the bye week. Your team's motivated. You're leading your division. Kyle, if we started this season, I said your Bills were going to be 7-3 at the bye week. You're taking that 10 out of 10 times, right?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
There you go. It could be 8-2, but it could be a lot worse. So enjoy 7-3. Hope the Dolphins lose this week, and you get ready for the playoffs.
I will say this to everybody listening. Enjoy these last couple weeks. We are already in week 11. Football is rapidly coming to an end, which is scary. Enjoy it.
Couldn't have said it any better. We'll see you next week.